Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Beautiful day out there. So coming up on Saturday is Laura's Run for Kids, hosted by First Alert Force Laura Hediger, who I had the pleasure of meeting the other day when I did Great Day St. Louis with she and Chambers and Kent. And she joins us now. Laura, great to talk to you again.
You too, especially on your turf.
Right.
Thank you for having me.
The worm has turned. So you, when I met you, you were obviously beautiful and you're great on the air, but I didn't know what you would be like, you know, just like you don't know how I'm going to be. And I was really glad to see that you were super cool, because Chambers is one of my best buddies and I knew that he wouldn't be hanging with you that much if you weren't.
Okay, so fun fact about Matt Chambers. Are you ready?
Yeah.
He was the officiant of my wedding.
That's
so that
perfect.
Is how highly I think of Matt Chambers.
That's awesome.
He is a very good dude. So if you like him and he likes you, more importantly, then I have a feeling I'm in good company right
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely. What's he like at 4 in the morning? Have you had to do that shift and figure that one out?
Oh, many a times. And it's not 4 in the morning. That dude strolls in at 1:30 most days to go on the air at 4. That is how dedicated he is to his craft. And Matt is just as happy at 1:30 in the morning as he is at 4 in the morning and noon and midnight. He's too nice. I don't know how he does it.
I predicted one of these days he's going to beat the hell out of somebody. He's got
hopefully Kent, and we can watch.
Yeah,
we'll see.
He's got 46 years of pent up rage needs to come out. So I want
and 6 crazy kids.
Yeah, he has like 47 little kids. So I want to talk about the run. This is great. You guys have raised so much money for such a great cause. But first, let's introduce you to the KMOX audience. Kind of give us your origin story. Tell us the stuff about Laura we may not know.
I am from Flora, Illinois. So actually, I remember listening to KMOX as a very little girl when I went over to my grandma and grandpa Hediger's house. KMOX, I'm sorry, that's always what my Nana called it.
Cute.
KMOX was always on when I walked in the door.
So cute.
So I've been a loyal listener for a very long time, but grew up in Flora, went to the University of Illinois, go Illini. My husband went to KU, so I apologize to all the many Mizzou people who are listening. I'm sure you now hate us.
It's where my daughter goes right now. She's a Jayhawk, so.
Oh, perfect. There we go. Then we're in good company.
Yeah.
Went to the University of Illinois, got my bachelor's degree in print journalism, a master's degree in broadcasting, started my career in Charleston, South Carolina, and have been at Channel 4 in St. Louis for almost 13 years. I'll hit 13 years this July.
That's awesome. That's great. So are you a runner yourself? Is this where Laura's Run for Kids came from?
I am a huge runner. I've done 3 full marathons, mm-hmm. and every week I try to log between 60 and 70 miles of walking and running combined. Wow. Now, that's not necessarily for physical fitness. I'm a mom of two, so it really helps getting the stress out.
Yeah, there you go. So you made it back home. That's great, you know, in your career.
It is. I am so lucky to work at Channel 4, and I know KMOX used to be above Channel 4 downtown in the Gateway Tower building, and that was a wonderful location. But our new station, as you just saw in Maryland Heights, is just spectacular. I'm so lucky to work there.
It is. It is a palace. Isn't it weird, Laura, like Rachel and Andrew and Wheeler on my show and Chambers and Earhart and all your guys behind the scenes? You're literally family. Like sometimes you see them as much or more than you see your actual family.
Way more than we see our actual family. I mean, there are days where I might not even see my husband, and Matt's in the same boat with his odd schedule. So it is. It's a family that you rely very heavily on through the really, really good times and the really hard times, too.
Yeah. We're talking to Laura Hediger from KMOV and Great Day, and she is doing Laura's Run for Kids, which is going to be this Saturday, May 10th from 7:30 a.m. till 10 a.m. Tower Grove Park, the Sons of Rest Pavilion. You can register at littlebitfoundation.org. So, Laura, tell us about the Little Bit Foundation.
Little Bit Foundation is one of St. Louis's best kept secrets, if you have not heard about them. They've been around for almost 24 years now, and it started as a simple coat drive. A couple of moms decided to have their son's high school do a coat drive because they met a little boy who needed a coat. And out of that, it has turned into a big nonprofit that's now in 54 area schools across the St. Louis metro, also now in East St. Louis, very excited to move across the river. 17,000 students a year are impacted. And again, it started as a coat, but it's now grown into anything that a child might need to break down a barrier to learning. And I know that's just a phrase that rolls off the tongue, but think about it like this. When a child is at school, if he or she has shoes on that are too small, that kid is not comfortable. He or she can't run in PE. So the Little Bit Foundation has an amazing partnership with Fila, and Fila donates all these shoes, cool shoes. The child is fit with brand new shoes a couple times a year. You know how quickly little kids' feet grow. Underwear, socks, uniforms, and they've now branched out into mobile food markets. My family has always been very passionate about helping with food insecurity, and food insecurity is a very, very, very real thing. And children now are able to take home sacks of groceries on the weekends, because there was a time that once school ended at 3 o'clock on Friday, maybe a little kid wouldn't have a full meal until they're back at school Monday morning. Little Bit has made those partnerships. They are able to do vision screenings, dental screenings, and even we've now moved into helping kids think about the next step. And the goal is to keep smart, talented, brilliant kids here in St. Louis. We don't want them taking their brains to New York, to LA, to Nashville. We want to keep our talent here. So by investing in STEM programs and helping them prepare for college, hopefully they will go to one of our great schools here and then come back, raise a family here, and start their career here.
That's wonderful. And it sounds like you are probably going to luck out on the weather, too.
Yes. So I paid off Matt and Kent handsomely, and it looks like it is going to be a truly great day, pun intended, on Saturday.
Very nice. Well, Laura, thank you for all that you do for the charity. Thank you for all you do on TV. You guys are my guys, my go-to every morning, so I appreciate it.
We appreciate you, too. Thank you for this time.
You're welcome. Thanks, Laura.
She's awesome.
She's nice.
Yeah.
Very sweet.
That's cool that that Fila does that.
Yeah.
That's a really cool partnership. Because, I mean, that goes from like, man, my shoes are too small, to now it's like, now I have the cool shoes, you know?
Right.
Like, that's really awesome.
You ever think, like, how much sense it would make that if we died and there was an afterlife, if the only thing that anyone cared about was stuff you'd done for other people? Like, not even stuff that you had done that wasn't so savory. We all have that. I certainly have my dark resume of that. But if they're just like, yeah, everyone does that, we're only concerned with what you did for other people. Mm-hmm. And not just big, showy stuff, but just, you know, just stuff. Mm-hmm. That would make sense. I forgot you were here. That scared me.
He's right. In the other room now.
Yeah.
Sorry, I switched rooms.
Jeez. I'm going to put a bell on you.
No one has the line of sight to me.
You're just like,
Remember when I used to do that to you guys all the time?
Yes.
I try to avoid doing it now.
Yes.
But I used to. I'm not a loud walker. I'm a pretty quiet walker. Mm-hmm. And I used to walk into Dave and Rachel's office and scare them constantly because mm-hmm. their backs would be to me.
Yeah.
And I'd walk in and I'd just be like, hey, I brought you something.
You're like a big ninja.
Got the sneakers.
So you getting nervous about your big trip next week?
I'm so nervous.
Yeah, I know. It's
I
cute.
Am the
he,
most
he's
nervous.
Really nervous.
I'm the most nervous I have perhaps ever been for anything, which I don't know why I'm nervous, because I'm going to like the biggest city or second biggest city in the country. So if I forget to bring something,
yeah,
I can just go get it.
Yeah.
Very easily.
And you have very little responsibility.
I have one big responsibility that I'm a little worried about.
What's that?
That I actually forgot about until just now. And that is that I have
glad to, I brought it up.
I gotta get on that.
And that is that I have to give a speech.
Yes.
Collaboratively with the bride's brother.
That's much tougher.
Who is a lovely guy, but I don't know him at all, really.
Yeah.
You just know that everybody in your mind likes him more than you.
Yes. Sure.
You should play off that.
I will bring that up, I think.
Yeah. Just make the whole thing about it.
Yeah,
really.
Don't even mention your brother.
But other than that, it's just like, I don't know how to pack. And I don't mean like, the thing that makes me anxious is not like, what if I forget something? The thing that really makes me anxious is the physical act of packing. Like seeing the big box and all my junk and how I got to try and fit it in the stupid box.
Yeah.
It makes me so anxious and nervous.
What size box, as you call it, do you have?
big cardboard one, I think. No. I don't know. I don't actually own any luggage. We have like a couple of duffel bags.
It's whatever Megan gives you.
But it's whatever like extra stuff that my dad has at his house that he can spare for us, which we're going to try to figure that out tonight and see if we
shirts,
have to buy any.
Take your t-shirts and roll them up and just make them little sausages.
Oh.
And then you can just stuff a million of them into the space of like a bread container.
Wow, that's a really good idea.
Yeah. And take as few shoes as you can.
Yeah.
You know, you'll need your dress shoes, you'll need your walking around shoes, but don't take anything more than that because they're heavy and they take up a lot of space.
Mm.
And you can't take a whole lot of toiletries with you because of the bomber.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, you'll want to get travel size everything you need, and then you put it in a quart-sized zip-up bag.
Okay.
It has to fit in there.
Wow, really? Mm-hmm. Okay. Like all of it, or just like one thing at a? That's a stupid question.
All of it. They only allow you one bag.
That's a very stupid
and I would
question.
I would suggest get on Amazon or something and see if you can find some cheap packing cubes, because I always thought those were a scam. But then when I started using them, they're just like little fabric cubes where you can put like your sweaters in one and your socks and underwear in the other, and it doesn't actually like create more space. It just keeps you so much more organized and you feel like you have more space.
And I don't know about you, but I am a huge underpacker, and I never fail to overpack. Like, I always take more stuff than I need. But then again, I'm going on, like, hiking trips and beach trips. I'm not going to a wedding.
Yeah.
So.
How many knives and needles can I bring on the plane?
I found out from my daughter you can bring a pretty big pair of scissors.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
One of the most awkward moments of my life. An African-American gentleman had a tiny, tiny, like, pen knife, nail clipper thing taken away, and he was understandably salty about it, and then he's still standing there, and they might pull out a big pair of scissors that my daughter brought, and the guy goes, "You're just under," and he gives them back to her. What do you mean, just under? You know what these are.
Scissors can only be 11 inches in length, and you're 10 and a half.
You know what the purpose is. They are literally for cutting.
Yeah, they don't have any other things you can do with them.
Right. You can't ride with them. I can dream all day. I can dream all day. Welcome back, DGS 223. We're talking about eating canned ravioli earlier. You know what else I was thinking about? And now it's the kind of thing it seems like people eat ironically that we just had once a week. Beanie Weenie.
Yeah, those are classics.
Oof. No. I don't like adding the weenie in. You know?
Hold on. What is it to you?
I would rather just have beans.
I was going to say, then it's just beans.
Yeah, I love beans.
But it's like, chop up a hot dog? Why? I'd rather eat that on a bun.
Awesome.
I only want to eat a hot dog on a bun. I don't want it chopped up and incorporated into anything
else.
Well,
hang on. I think of that as something different than you guys do.
What do you think of?
We've encountered one of these situations. Like a very small hot dog sausage and like a barbecue
like
sauce
a Vienna.
That you yeah something
little
like
smoky.
That
yeah those are little smokies
often called little smokies
yes.
I also called them beanie weenies.
Oh, you're wrong.
Much through my life.
I mean yes. That's cute, but it's wrong.
Yeah, you're adorable.
I was gonna say I do think it's pretty cute.
Yeah, no, the beanie and the weenie is when you put the weenie in the beanie.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, when you put it that way, who can argue?
Is it the dismembering of the hot dog?
I only like a hot dog with a bun.
Okay.
I need the texture of the bun. I don't want to just eat a plain, like a hot dog by itself. If I was doing keto, for example, I wouldn't touch a hot dog.
Gotcha. A friend of mine will make spaghetti Filipino style, mm-hmm. which is with chopped up hot dogs instead of like meatballs or meat or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Delicious. Don't think I would like it.
Really?
Delish, yeah.
Now it's what? It's spaghetti?
It's spaghetti with hot dogs.
So it's just
like
spaghetti with hot dogs instead of beef.
Yeah, instead of like, it's not that
dissimilar. I'm not above that.
Yeah, it's not that dissimilar than like a regular spaghetti.
But people are eating the beanie weenies ironically now?
You know, like, look, we're poor, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Like me and the canned tamales.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Times is tough.
And we weren't poor growing up. My dad was a union carpenter, but we lived poor. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like they were definitely living beneath their their means.
I wonder what they were saving for. Like I wonder what
well,
they
I mean,
were
they were
about.
They were both born in 27, 28.
Yeah.
So they lived through some of the Depression.
I understand. So they're
World
like
World War II.
This can change at any moment.
Think about that. When you live through the Depression, when just suddenly the richest people in your little town are in bread lines, and then World War II and Pearl Harbor's attacked and everyone you know is at war and half the people you know are dead. It changes the way you think about things.
It's a real chaotic time to be alive.
And it's just so sad to me that not only did it happen with my mom and dad, but it's going to happen to every single one of us who aren't generationally wealthy. That you are going to give all of your money to a nursing home.
Yeah.
Unless you have like long-term care, which is its own expense. But there's just like no way around it unless we get back to like a more Japanese indigenous people system of keeping elderly loved ones in the home and respectfully and caring for them and treasuring them and such. But I mean, I didn't with my mom. My mom lived on her own until she fell and then she was in, you know, the various places.
Well, she didn't want to leave her home, you know?
No. I think she probably would have moved in with me, but it would have been a fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. That we both lost. Just saying.
No matter who wins,
we all lose. That would have been great.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
1041 FM KMOX. Time to talk to our pal Ricky Horton. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Dave. Love this time of the day when we get to chat.
Yeah, it's always cool. It's always a good time. So I don't know the answer to this. And if I don't know the answer to this, I'm sure a lot of our listeners don't know, but I'm sure we'll be intrigued. And I don't know, I don't expect you to know what happens on an individual basis because it depends on the player and the situation. But in general, when the club is thinking about making a move, for example, we're going to send Pallante down to Memphis to find his sinker and we're going to bring up Graceffo, blah, 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 whatever it is. Is it always a joint decision between Ali and Mo and Mr. DeWitt, or does sometimes Marmol have the juice to just go, I'm sending this guy down, I'm bringing this guy up?
Yeah, I think most managers in baseball don't have the ultimate say anymore. He has got a vote. I do know that. I mean, he's going to say, here's what I want. But honestly, you know, the manager is going to be thinking within the lens of, what helps my team right now, and how do I help, you know, and his relationship with the players. And, you know, there are levels beyond that, which include finances and you know, what service time and what does that do to the club and you know, all kinds of other things that are going on. So, I mean, he typically, most managers will acquiesce to the general manager at this point.
And how has that changed since you were a player? My intuition would be that the managers had a lot more power back then.
Well, I can only speak for one particular manager, Whitey Herzog, who had he had the power. In fact, he was the general manager at one point and the manager. And then he went out and got the Cardinals to go out and get a general manager that was his friend. So basically, he was still the general manager. So if Whitey wanted a player, he'd get it. And he would actually go straight to the owner and do that. And that was a different era, different. You know, I mean, there's so much that goes into being a manager right now. That just the amount of staff that you have, if you think about that, the staff has probably quadrupled since Whitey Herzog's time. So you are managing, as a manager, fitness guys, the, you know, the team masseuse, the physical trainer, the trainers, the athletic trainer. I mean, there's all kinds of things you got going on that you have to deal with. So you don't have time to be general manager, too.
So I asked this question of Wheeler and Bernie the other day, and I wanted to run it by you because you know how it is, Rick. These guys, it's all exit velocity and this the OPS and the war and all these things I don't know about. And I said, my guess is that it has made the individual players much better, but maybe not made the game any more enjoyable. And to my surprise, they both agreed.
Yeah, no, I think that that's true. And I think a lot of people in baseball would say the same thing. In fact, baseball, the people in New York who would call themselves baseball, you know, in the commissioner's office, they recognize that. And they're trying to put back what they would say the art of baseball back into the game. And, you know, here another way to explain it to me is all those things you mentioned, you don't know about exit velocity and vertical break and, you know, all that stuff. But most fans can do from 34 years ago, we can say that guy's ball's moving or that guy is getting hit because his ball's too straight. Well, it's the same thing. It's just a number now attached to it and more intricacy and more detail. And plus they're able to kind of fix players. If they do have the problem of not having enough movement, say pitchers, they have some remedies to make that happen because of technology, which is a good thing.
So kind of a Dave question here. TikTok has figured out that I love baseball. So it shows me all kinds of baseball. And one of the things it keeps showing me are young guys who obviously aren't pros. Maybe they're high school, maybe they're college, maybe they're just guys. But they're at some sort of a facility and they're throwing 95 miles an hour in front of their buddies. And if I were to see that, I would say, wow, that's amazing. You should be in the major leagues. But if you could, talk a little bit about the worst guy in the major leagues and these guys and how much of a gap there probably is.
Yeah, the gap, I would agree with it, but most baseball people would say that the gap between, say, double A even and the big leagues has never been greater. It used to be that the double A players were guys that were prospects that were almost there. Well, those prospects that are almost there are probably there now. You know, and the AAA guys were the guys that used to be good, and they're good insurance for things happening in the big leagues. They're typically older players, but they know how to play the game, and they're teaching some of the young players that last step to finish them off for the big leagues. But now the gap is so big that if a guy's doing great in AA, that's not necessarily an indication that they'll pitch well in the big leagues. So separate that by these travel ball guys and the TikTok stuff. I mean, they're far beyond. I mean, they're far away from being able to be a big league pitcher. It doesn't mean they can't be. And I will say, you know, baseball's intrigued when they see a kid throw 95 that he could be the next big thing, and they're going to certainly take a look at him. But you know, there's a lot of learning, there's a lot of polishing, there's a lot of development, which is kind of the word of the year for the Cardinals this year. There's a lot of development that has to take place.
Yeah, if one of the other words would be runway, which we've talked about a lot, how do you feel like that's going so far in 2025 for that, giving the kids runway?
I think the runway is a good – I think it's creating a team that's fun and exciting. I mean, I think some guys haven't taken off on the runway yet. Jordan Walker hasn't. Now, he has defensively. Nolan Gorman hasn't. But, you know, I think others have, and I think, you know, the pitchers have. I think McGreevy has and Graceffo has. Now, they haven't been around the whole time, but they have impressed, and I think they're going to get on that runway at some point. But I feel like it's – I feel like it was a good depressurizing thing for this – team, and lately they're starting to learn how to win close games too, which I think is again part of the runway. It's part of the, you know, it's not how you're doing when you're going well that really matters. It's what do you do when you don't have a good day. That's what separates a big leaguer from a minor leaguer. Anybody can have a good day any given day. I don't care if you're, you know, an A ball player. You can come up and throw a shutout in the big leagues, but what happens the next day when you give up 8 runs? Yeah. Are you lost? Are you done? I mean that can happen if they're not handled right.
Yeah, I remember probably 10 years into my career, people would say like, oh, my brother-in-law is funnier than you. And like, well, you're probably right. But I always said it's so much easier to be great now and than it is to be really good every day.
I mean, think about comedians and comedians that do it every night. Radio people do it every night. Your personality. Yeah, 100% right. And so you can kind of gear up for that first day, but man, you know, what's your mode? Not what's your max, but what do you do typically? You know, the modal average, what's kind of right there in the middle of what we're going to see from you every day. In fact, I think there should be more statistical analysis done on that. Mm-hmm. I think that we tend to focus on averages, but we're typically just talking about means and not either median or mode. And I think it's kind of more important at the big league level that you do something every day to help your team to win. Brendan Donovan does that. And now he's also got good averages, but if you watch him play, you say, yep, he did that today. That helped the team win. And those are the kind of players you want.
So I'm always intrigued by what other people do for a living. And both of us have really fun jobs.
Oh boy.
But for example, yesterday was a really tough day for me. I didn't sleep over the weekend. It was a crappy day here and just bleh. How often as a big league player, and probably it gets worse as the season wears on, but how often do you have those days where you're like, I just got to get through these nine innings?
I would say probably not as not much different than the average person in whatever job you have.
Wow.
Now that would be true for people that love their jobs, because I think the baseball players obviously, you know, love the fact that, hey, I'm getting to do this for a living. This is great. But man, there are days that it's a drag, and sometimes it's a drag because you show up at the park and nothing's working. You don't have any feel, and you know, you feel the pressure, and you have kind of maybe the stress of travel or something. I mean, all the normal stresses of life, and your family's mad at you, or you had a fractured relationship with somebody, or, you know, who knows what's going on, but, you know, normal life stuff. Everybody has days like that. And so, you know, it's not so much the job, it's just life, I think, that sometimes interferes, and you can't just get over those little problems just by saying, hey, I get to play baseball for a living. It's not that simple.
So back when you were playing, I'm sure if you'd have gone to Whitey or someone who you're close with and said, hey, I'm having some issues, I'm just not feeling all there, they would have been kind to you. But the trope, the stereotype would have been like, hey, suck it up, buttercup. I'm guessing that today most guys have some sort of access to some sort of therapeutic something for that.
Yeah, there's a team. There is somebody on the team, and actually, that was true back in the day too. And I don't remember anybody using it, but you know, it was more for kind of drug, alcohol, rehab stuff. But there's team assistance programs that they would let you know about, because look, let's face it, we all need a mental health day every once in a while, and that's really, you know, the mental health part of it is so critical. I mean, you can only go so many days in a row with having somebody tell you you're lousy at your job without you being affected by that, and players deal with that. I mean, they read, they say they don't read, but they do, they know, they're aware. So, you know, yes, those things are in place. you know, but you've got certain guys. I think Donovan told me the other day, you know, he had a subluxation in his rib, and that hurts. It feels like somebody's stabbing you in your ribs. And he had that one day. They pushed it back in. The next day, he slid into home head first. And I said, dude, do you have to do that? I mean, he goes, I don't want to be soft. I don't want my teammates to. I don't want to be soft. I don't want my teammates to think I'm soft. And to me, that's why I love Brendan Donovan, because he's a gamer. And, you know, you might not, if you were his doctor, say, hey, slide head first. Maybe that's the best thing for your rib problem.
Yeah.
But he just was more interested in kind of how he was viewed and how he felt about himself than anything else.
Yeah, so Mark Bolger is one of my best friends, and when he was here playing for the Rams, we spent a lot of time together, and one season he had broken ribs to the point where he would be mad at me if I made him laugh, but he was playing, and he's like, dude, it's contract year, and these guys are brutal. They'll use anything to save some money.
And everybody knows that. Everybody's in the game realizes that. I mean, Michael McGreevy knows that. I mean, there's a money reason, and there's a service reason. There's a, you know, what's good for us short-term reason that he pitches so well and he gets sent back to AAA for a short time. Now he'll be back, but you understand if you're a player that it's a business. By the way, I got a comp for you. Mark Bulger, your buddy, and Kyle Leahy. I don't know if you had a chance to meet him yet.
Not yet.
But they're both really nice, soft-spoken dudes that are quiet assassins. I mean, they really are. They're so competitive. And Ollie says that about Kyle Leahy, but I, you know, my time around Mark, I felt like he was like that too.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. One last question. When you were playing and you would read something that someone wrote or you would hear someone on the radio, other than just being naturally defensive as a human, would you typically go fair criticism where you're like, you guys just got it wrong, you don't understand what's happening here?
I would verbally say to whoever was interested, I don't really care about what people are saying about me. And internally, I would fume. Honestly, that's what I would do. I didn't want to give the enemy a foothold, as they say. I mean, I never felt like I just didn't want to deal with it because, you know, it is, you know, the players love to use the word distraction, but it's a way to spend energy that's counterproductive, because even if you win, there'll be another guy you got to fight. So, you know, and so I think now I will say this, there are times where I got criticized and I still do this. I look for the kernel of truth in it. I mean, you have to. I mean, if somebody says something about me as a broadcaster, it's like, oh, I don't like hearing that, but well, let me see. There's something in that. I might not agree with it wholeheartedly, but there might be something to it.
All right, buddy. It's always great to talk to you. Have a great night.
Yeah, you too, Dave. Thanks. See ya.
Welcome back to 50 DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Hopefully you guys are enjoying the FM signal. I definitely am. I rarely listened to the 1120 AM signal because I would just plug in my phone and do the Odyssey app. But the times when it wouldn't work or I couldn't and I listened to the AM, it was severely disappointing to me. I know a lot of people are just used to it and you like it, and to each their own, that's great. I know that it's Clear Channel, so it goes out over 27 states when the sun goes down. I think that's super cool, and people over, you know, half the country get to hear our show. That's really neat. But the FM signal just sounds so good.
It really does.
Yeah.
And it's nice hearing Cardinals baseball on that FM signal.
Even
that
better.
A very pleasant sound.
Yes. Very nice. I went over to the bank across the street from us today to see about opening up my mom's account, and it was about noon, and the very nice woman, Jordan, who is helping me out, said, this is going to take about 45 minutes. Do you have that long? And I said, oh, kind of not. I said, I'm right across the street. I do a radio show. And she goes, I was going to ask if you did a radio show based on how nice your voice is.
Oh, that's really nice.
Isn't that nice?
That's sweet.
And I basically called her a liar to her face. I'm like, no. I have a radio show for a million reasons in spite of my voice. She's like, oh, I disagree.
That's very nice.
Yeah, it's very nice of her.
You said, no, stupid.
No, you idiot. I have a stupid voice.
You don't know anything.
You don't know anything about radio. They say that one of the worst things about having our phones and constant stimulation is that we have stopped daydreaming.
Oh, yeah.
We literally don't give ourselves enough time for our minds to wander
and that is evidently one of the healthiest, most healing, and most creative times when we're bored and our mind seeks things out within our skull. And we just don't do it anymore because the second you're on an elevator by yourself, you pull out your phone, you hit TikTok, you're taking in stimulation, and your mind's not wandering.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like kids don't get a chance to be bored as much anymore.
Yeah, which is even more important than us.
And you know what I've been thinking? This is just a really bad time for, like, you know, the big quote is like, maybe the children will have two dolls instead of 30. And yeah, I guess no one needs 30 dolls. But if you're making physical toys that kids have to use their imagination for more expensive, it's like, maybe we'll just download them a new app and they can be on the iPad. I don't know. It just feels like bad timing. Like, they're probably just going to turn more towards screens because these things that it feels like they're losing interest in anyway are now becoming more expensive and harder to get.
Yeah. I was going to ask, like, with your nieces, do they still play with?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, I usually, when I see my nieces, I go to my mom's house because she's babysitting them and we have like a playroom for them just full of like a lot of my old toys that I saved that they play with. And they absolutely still like play pretend and love to play. We play this game where they go to bed and I tuck them in and then they get up out of bed when they're not supposed to be in bed. Like they love to use their imagination still, but they love to zone in on a screen too. So it's like, you gotta have the time that's specifically not for the screen.
You know, something that's bothering me is I heard Amy talking yesterday that she's planning on taking some trips to national parks this summer, and that she talked to some park rangers and they were saying not stay away, but they're like, we're not sure if you'll be able to make it where you want to go because of all the budget cuts through DOGE. We just don't have the people to take care of the national parks. And I feel like if I could get 2 minutes with Donald Trump, I could convince him that this is the least Trumpian thing ever. Because he's all about make America great again and make it the shining example. And, you know, I'm going to build a ballroom at the White House. It's going to be better than the Four Seasons. Well, the crown jewel of America to me are the national parks and people having access to them and them being in good working order. And I think if he took a half a second to think about it, he would actually be embarrassed and revolted by the actions that he has taken through DOGE has hurt them so badly.
Yeah, I couldn't care less about the White House having a beautiful ballroom. I had not heard that, but that sounds very ridiculous.
And he's going to pay his own money, he says.
I mean, if he wants to do that, I'm totally fine with it, but I don't need taxpayer money. The White House is fine.
Nice.
It's pretty regal. It's pretty good. I don't think we need to like dress it up any more than it already is.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you on the state parks. Like, this land is your land. This land is my land. But it's true. I mean, that's what makes America great is all the different places you can go and the beautiful nature we have like at our fingertips.
Amen.
Here.